peace be upon his descendants of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba, who were the stars of guidance and the propagators of the noble Quran, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. Shaykh Sahib is commenting on the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Al-Mu'in, who are the torchbearers of Islam. Belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah that because of Sahaba, Deen reached us, Islam reached us, Quran reached us, Ahadith reached us, laws reached us, injunctions reached us, impositions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached us. Everything said and done by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reached us via Sahaba. Sahaba are those beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Sahaba in general. There are numerous ayats of the Quran concerning this. And praising Sahaba specifically, the ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا كَرِيمًا. This ayat concerning when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. He came to make Umrah after having a dream. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a dream that he is making tawaf of Kaaba and is having his hair and shaved. Dream of a Nabi is always true. And that is the usul of deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, states, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala records that before Wahi came, before Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should get Ruya Sadiqa, meaning truthful dreams. And the explanation, the hadith is given, just as you see the sunrise and you see daylight, that's how the dream should come true. Exactly like that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should see a dream, and in the morning it was true. Ulama Ikram have stated what the rule concerning interpretation of deen. Interpretation of deen is very interesting. Shah Wali Mullah Rahmatullah says in the Hujjat al-Baligha that this is the general pattern of a person who is truthful in nature. Truthful in nature meaning that he does not speak lies. And in this age of ours, it is very difficult to find a person who is not deceiving or does not speak less. If a person is extremely truthful, honest, then whatever he dreams of, generally it just comes exactly like. And side by side, I'll mention this also, which Shah Sahib says, Shah Wali Mullah Rahmatullah Alayh, that many a time a person dreams because of indigestion. Because he ate food or over ate, and which is a general tendency also, then he gets dreams accordingly. So, not every dream starts running around. And inshallah, sometime when I get a chance, I'll explain to you dreams and their small interpretations and how they come about and why they come about. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and any Nabi, these dreams are haq, they are like Wahi in a certain regard. Meaning the order, for example, Wahi says as that Salat is first. And upon a Nabi, when he dreams something, and if the dream instructs him to do something, then it is necessary for the Nabi to do. See the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that he dreamt he slaughtering or sacrificing his son, Ismail. But he did not hesitate. That is this dream true or not true? And when he narrated his dream to his son Ismail, Ismail also knew that my father is a Nabi and my father's dream is in order. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, only son, then, oh my son, what do you think of the matter? Then Ismail alayhi salam said, if Al Ma'tukmar, then do what you have been ordered. Do what you have been ordered. So, knowing that his father's dream is an order, here Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa رضي الله تعالى عنها says that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have dreams, and those dreams should come through the body. Question arises, but how come Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa رضي الله تعالى عنها is narrating this hadith? Because she was married to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah, and she was married to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to one narration. The idea is according to which he was died, or according to another is narration 11. And this about dreams and coming true of dreams is in Makkah to Mukarrama. The answer is very simple. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should relate to his wives and to the Sahaba what should happen to him in Makkah. So Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was one of those who listened to what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So she knows what should happen to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah to Mukarrama. So he dreamt that he is going for making tawaf, so they left. And when they came on the outskirts of Makkah to Mukarrama, they were struck. Quraysh struck them and said, no, you cannot go for that. Here, the Sahaba with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura on what was to do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we must go and talk to the Quraysh, the Kufar and the Mushrik. Let's go talk to them and tell them that we are to come for this purpose only. We want to make tawaf, we want to make umrah, we want to go back. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that, Ya Nabi, please excuse me. The people in Makkah, they do not like to see me. Send someone who is liked by them, or they'll have a soft spot for them, or they will treat him in a better manner. If I go, there may be some fighting with him, because they know me and I know them. So they decided to send Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, soft, humble, modest, and noble, as rich. People of Makkah to Mukarrama respected him and honored him, his nobility and of his diplomacy, they said. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very nice important point which comes to mind. Lately I have come across it. We generally narrate the story how we accepted Islam, but that story is not pursued. And if we carry on reading the story, a very nice point comes out. Point comes out is purpose of life. Purpose of life, and purpose of life as taught by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates, as history kitab in the Ishaq records, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who after accepting Islam could not sleep, and he reported that he said, I was tossing and turning and staying awake. And there was one fikr in him, one concern in him now, while he was in that state. Concern was that who must I give dawah to in the morning? Who must I give dawah? Dawah in the morning, first of all, is getting proven. Secondly, that he got converted, he accepted Islam, now look at his concern now. Immediately his concern is that who I must give dawah to. Purpose of life is coming forward. Purpose of life is not money, factory, shop, business, bank balance. Purpose of life is dawah. Who must I give dawah to, who must I invite, and who must I talk to. And we do know of his position. He decided I am going to the person who is the enemy of Islam, the most bitter enemy of Islam. First thing, Allah Sabah in the morning, he went to Abu Jahl, according to the narration. Then he went there and he knocked him. Knocked at the door, opened the door, greeted him, and he said, why you come so early in the morning? What brings you so early? And Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that I have come to tell you something. So I have come to tell you that I believe Allah Ta'ala is one, and that Allah is the secret. I come to tell you, believers. This is a report that he slapped the door. Said, damn you, what have you come? What message have you come? The other thing we learn that if you go out to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just the night before, the day before, Abu Jahl, Umar رضي الله تعالى, all were sitting together. But now, because now his purpose in life has changed, when purpose of life changes, then you must expect problems. You must expect difficulty, and you must expect the people who you are closest to, they are going to come against you. The people who you think they are with you or for you, you must expect trouble and difficulties from them. So, and then you come clearly that the purpose of life is ours, and the figure should be there. Imagine the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam jazba, this enthusiasm, that when he made someone accept Islam by the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then there was no such thing as now you must go and do this. But the spirit that was instilled, that you must make da'wah now. Now you must start preaching, propagating, inviting towards good, forbidding evil. InshaAllah, we'll continue from the Sahih there, actually.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahtadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Karim. Discussing the ayat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, a few points we have mentioned the last time we had lessons. I mentioned briefly that man goes under three stages, present, future and past. And in these three stages he must call Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he is worthy of being worshipped, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of being worshipped.
If we do not worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that means we are going to worship someone else, and the whole process of it shirk. Describing partners to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is shirk. A lengthy discussion sometime I will give concerning what is zulum. Zulum is oppression. Every person says oppression, oppression, and this has become the word that is utilized. This. Anything you talk about is oppression. And the poor fellow does not even know the meaning of oppression, he says the word oppression. Briefly, the definition of oppression is, first of all, the word in the Arabic is zulm, or zalama. And it means, wazu shay fi ghayri mahallihi fa huwa zulm. If you place a thing not in its place, then that is oppression. Simplified displacement. For example, and you will hear this example, because when I give a detailed bayan on this, there's an example I will use again. And it has been doing before. I'm wearing glasses. If I take out my glasses and place it above my knee, then I'm making zulum to the glasses. And I'm making zulum to the knee. The glasses are not supposed to be there, it's supposed to be by my eyes. So anything that falls in that category will go under zulm. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam advising his son on how to behave in life and conduct of life, the first thing he mentioned to him was about belief. And he told him that shirk, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is zulmul azim. That is the greatest zulm. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, there is wahidaniya, there is tawheed, there is unity. And now to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you are making someone else, you try to say someone else is worthy of worship. You try to say there is someone else worthy of prostration. You are trying to say there is someone else worthy to be called for in times of difficulty, and which is not in the spirit of Islam. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be called in the times of difficulty, in problems, calamities, only Allah is supposed to be called. Imam al-Hadifa rahmatullahi stated that if a person is alone in his cave and no Islamic teaching reaches him, then he, out of deduction and out of observation, he must come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He must come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one by observation of the stars and the moon, and by observation of nature itself, and realize that there is someone controlling, that there is someone in supervision of the whole kainat, of the whole universe. Fuqaha, jurors, consultants have said that ibadat, because this verse has got to do with ibadat, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, we alone do we worship, and we alone do we seek help from. That ibadat, intention is a condition. And the first hadith is generally recorded in the kitabs, innamal a'malu bi-niyyah, that verily actions depend on diet. So, diet has to be corrected. Rectification of diet, correction of diet, direction of diet must be brought right. Because if a person, for example, is coming to the masjid, and his diet is that he must show people, or he must be boastful about his action, then he will get, he will fulfill his obligation, but sawab he will not get so much. But on the other hand, sometimes it is reported, it is some of the books like zakat, a wealthy person must give a zakat sometime openly, or he must give charity openly. In those areas especially where there is not, so charity is not given openly, when he is giving charity openly, the people will see and they will also give openly. Then, there to do that action openly is preferable. So intention has to be correct. If our intention is wrong, and the intention also must be in conformity to Sharia. You cannot rob the rich and feed the poor and say that I am doing what is for the poor. I say, no, my intention is very clear. My intention is very clear. Why? Because I am robbing the rich man, I am taking the money, and look at what a good action I am doing, I am feeding the poor. You can't say that my intention is very good. Why? Because the action that you are doing is wrong in itself. Yeah. Like for example, those people in the time of the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who built that masjid. They built the masjid, but it was a masjid of Darar, it was an opposition masjid. And the hypocrites put that masjid up for the destruction and ruin of Islam. When you look at the hypocrites during the time of the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they should come, the day it is reported that they should sit closest to the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they, it is reported they should sit in the first half. As it is reported that they should, externally, if you look at them, they were making salat and they were doing everything with utmost humility and humbleness. But intention was wrong. And intention was wrong, it was moving them in the wrong direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caught hold of them. So intention has to be correct. Hafiz ibn Qayyum, Rahmatullah Alayh. Hafiz ibn Qayyum, Rahmatullah Alayh, is student of Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, Rahmatullah Alayh. He said that perfect love and perfect obedience is ibadat. Perfect love and perfect obedience is ibadat. Also, with perfect respect and perfect love is ibadat. Let's go into this. There's a detail that obedience of a Muslim must be within the ambit of Sharia. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was giving an Eid talk, Eid khutbah in the masjid, in the Eidgah at least. And one of the his congregation members stood up for salam, to read salam on evening. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu told that person that don't read salam. So the person said that I'm reading salam. Why are you stopping me from reading salam? And salam is a good action. Salam is a good action. Why are you stopping me from it? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala explained to him, I agree, salat is a good action. I agree that salat will bring you reward. But this salat that you are performing is not in obedience to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make salat before each salat. When the majma gathered, when the congregation gathered for each salat, they know the full salat in the Eidgah before the each salat. There is no dafil salat in the masjid before the Eid salat. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him that your action now is in vain. And vain action won't give you sawab. And let alone won't give you sawab, it will fall the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this. That is action like salat. If it's done at the wrong time, it becomes vain, it's not going to give sawab. But it will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, there are three times when you don't have to read salah, sunrise, sunset and zawal. But if a person says, I'm reading salah during those times, then what do you say? No, you are doing wrong. Sharia is regarded as forbidden times. And because it is regarded as forbidden times, then you should abstain. And if a person says, no, salah is very good action, understand? I must do it. Then all these actions which are wrong, an action of shirk, an action of kufr, all these actions will come under this, Then let's say a person says, I want to do this, you know, prostrate before someone, I want to kiss someone, and I want to make tawaf of someone, or I want to do this to someone, or I want to do that to someone. My intention is very clear. The intention also how it comes. By the intention, obedience, respect, and love will make ibadah. Certain people say, no, our intention is very clear. That is why there is no need for parda in my house. Why? No, my wife's intention is, she got very clean heart. I too got very clean heart. That is why everybody can come into my house and anybody can come into our house. So the person, no, you can't do that. You know, intention is very clean. You know, my heart is very clean. And my wife's heart also very clean. So anybody can come inside the house and everybody can sit down, anybody can talk. This is where shaitan misleads us. That there is no such thing that because I think I got control over myself or I think I got good intention or then anybody can do anything. It is important that an hypothesis is created that if Hazrat Rabi'a Basri Ramzullah Ali and Hazrat Hasan Basri Ramzullah Ali are seated in one room, then the shaitan will interfere. Clear cut hadith of Rasulullah, when the male and female are together alone, then the shaitan is the third person. So we should take this into cognizance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the Sharia, and Sharia is meant to be followed and not doubted. Now, certain people feel, and certain people are under the impression that ibadat only means namaz. That's why they translate wrongly sometimes that ibadat means worship. So the person who is reading and the person who is teaching also feels ibadat, what that means? Namaz. Namaz is finished. I make my namaz, I'm making ibadat, that is all. He doesn't realize that there are a lot of other things which constitute ibadat. Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his kitab, Arba'eed, he has stated that ibadat, there are 10 categories of ibadat. There are 10 categories of ibadat. And he enumerates them. He says Salah, Zakat, fasting, Hajj, making tilawat of the Quran, making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances. Earning halal. Fulfilling the rights of the neighbor. Enjoying what is good and forbidding what is evil. And under all circumstances, the 10th one is to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah. Number one, why now ibadat has become? First of all, namaz, making ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, all these 10 things, the root of all these 10 things is that it was do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do anyone for anybody else's pleasure, then we are going to spoil our ibadah. Namaz. And if a person brings these 10 things into his life, these 10 things if a person brings in his life, if it are applicable to him, then inshallah he will live a peaceful life. Namaz, that whenever the Muazzin calls out for him to make salah, he makes salah. He comes to salah, salah to reform his life. And he comes and he prostrates before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will make him become meek and humble. And make him feel that the world is nothing, salat is something, and salat is important. Zakat, that if he's got wealth over the nisab, then he must give zakat. When he gives zakat, then the natural thing, the benefits of zakat will come into his heart. One of which is to help the poor and the destitute. And you realize that my money is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must spend it where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to spend it. Hajj. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him the means and the ability and the way he is safe and he is able to go for Hajj, then he must go for Hajj. Tilawat of Quran. Tilawat of Quran here, we are under the impression that when Ramzan comes, the Quran must be open. Ramzan is finished, then the Quran closes. Or sometimes what happens in our lives, that we say, I want to read Quran, and one day you read 3 para, and the other day you read 1 para, and the third day you sleep in it. Why the difficulty arises, we do not make our time available. And the formula is very simple, that you make up your mind, that I am going to read, for example, 1 ruku a day, and I am going to read 1 ruku at a certain time. So what he does, that at a certain time he will make that he will read one hukum. Come what may, at a certain time he will read his one hukum. Then you start progressing upwards. From that one ruku you go to quarter para, from that quarter para you go to half para a day, from that half para to one para, etc. a day. Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah has stated that various people should read various quantity of Quran a day. You can see it in the virtues of Quran. Tilawat of Quran, after that, to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, they have written, Imam Ghazali has stated that in every condition does it make zikr. Which means very simple. Zikr also, it does not mean this, that to sit in the tasbih and make Allah, Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. That's all. Certain people feel zikr is this, that you must have tasbih in the hand, and you must be sitting in the masjid, and you must be making tasbih of Allah, Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Whereas zikr means that, for example, if you come in the masjid and you read the dua, that is zikr. If you go outside the masjid and read the dua, that is zikr. If you go inside toilet, before entering toilet you make the dua, that is zikr. Come outside the toilet and you read your dua, that is zikr. And alhamdulillah, if you go out of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these duas come into effect and a person begins to learn these duas. Small, small duas, that means it is 24 hour life. Going to sleep, coming, raising from sleep, and all these harakat, these movements, are filled with the small, small duas which enables a person to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to earn halal. To earn halal is a very big discussion. What is halal, what is haram, how you classify halal, how you classify haram. And there is one saying that if a person has got halal rozi, then inshallah he will spend it in the halal places. And if a person has got haram rozi, then it is inevitable that his haram rozi goes in haram places. There is a kitab called Tazkiratul Awliya, Memoirs of the Saints. Numerous stories are written about the saints and how the saints should test their disciples and should view their disciples and should discuss how that disciple is earning money and where his money is being spent and why it is so. And the rule is that if a person is earning his money by the sweat of his brow and is earning it halal, not doing anything wrong, then inshallah he will be able to spend it in the halal business. Then the rights of the labor must be fulfilled. He has stated that these days, unfortunately, a person does not know his neighbor, he does not know his neighbor's name, he does not know his neighbor's right, and he does not know anything about his neighbor. To this extent, unfortunately, I am narrating a very sad story. That we are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a locality, and the neighbor, the guide, we asked him where must we go. The guide said, okay, let's try this house. Okay, we went to the house, knocked at the house, and alhamdulillah. Person turned out to be a Muslim, greeted him, gave the dawah. Gave the dawah, and told him that, yes, brother, can you tell us where there are other Muslim families? So the brother said, see, I don't know. That's a typical answer. People are living because of the unfortunate Western influence. Another day is what the hadith of Rasulullah said, and we should ponder about it. The problem about this very serious, that a neighbor should worry about 40 families around him. A neighbor should worry about 40 families around him. And if this hadith is brought into social perspective, then a very peaceful society can come about. If every Muslim has to worry about 40 families around him, then can you imagine what a smooth running society we will have? So the person says here that I cannot say much, but the one who is staying opposite me, I'm sure he's not Muslim. And he goes there. So the Mashwara was made, now let us go to this brother, who is this other brother saying he's not a Muslim. So we went there. Knocked at the door, and alhamdulillah, Muslim opened. Greeted him, gave him dawah, etc. Then we asked him, see brother, can you tell us of some Muslim? He said, you see, I don't know much here. But what if for certain I tell you that brother opposite there, the brother opposite is not Muslim. That is not. He's not Muslim. How this comes about? It comes about because without, we are following exactly what the Western world is doing, we are doing the same thing. What we are doing, that you are to eat and survive. You are to eat this restless. And you're not interested in joining what is good and forgetting what is evil. You don't worry about the teaching of Islam and worry about the neighbor. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the advising of Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala, that oh Abu Zar, put more water in the food that you can give your neighbors. The neighbor's rights are very important because the welfare of the society depends on them. In his grief, in his sorrow, in his difficulty, in his happiness, in his joy, a person must share his feelings with his neighbor, and he can win the heart of his neighbor and work with him. And here, one person is saying the other person is not Muslim also. Remember, the law of Islam, the ordinances of Islam are widespread. So what must be happening here, these two people must be looking at each other's behavior. And they must have passed a fatwa on each other, that a Muslim can't behave like this. So that's why they say to each other, this one is not a Muslim, but that's why they say this one is not a Muslim. But because both know the law. The law is quite spread, widespread. You ask a person in the street, he becomes a philosopher of Islam in 5 minutes. And start discussing about Islam, alhamdulillah. You understand? But tell him to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.